Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. This will be a slightly shorter version due to some personal commitments. So unfortunately, we'll only have about a half hour here to spend with you today. But we will still get to all of the news involving this week's SmackDown Live. So let's get right to it. First off, we start this show with Daniel Bryan and The Miz kind of having their moment that we've been waiting for. The Miz had come out. He was going to do a funeral service for Team Hell No. Ran them down a little bit. Said that it was basically the end of Kane's career, and Daniel Bryan's comeback has been a total disaster. This is just setting up, obviously, for the match at SummerSlam. Nothing wrong with this. This is what the fans have wanted to see for a while. So, Mike, I think it started out well.
It started out well, and look, again, it's the them getting around to giving the fans what they want. Maybe a little bit too late, but maybe not. But it's giving the fans what they want. The plan, ever since he did what the Miz did, what he did on Talking Smack, the fans have been anticipating this match that's going to happen at SummerSlam. You know. And
yeah, no question, and they're going to get it. So now it's just a matter of, will Daniel Bryan re-sign, which he says he probably will. If he does, he'll win. If he doesn't, he'll lose, fading to the sunset. I want to spend a little bit of time on this next match because I have heard so many blog hosts and so many wrestling journalists say it was nice to see Andrade Cien Almas get elevated to a higher status by taking on AJ Styles. And now, by virtue of this match, Almas, in the eyes of the fans, is now a main event type wrestler. That's their take on it. And is this what modern booking has become, that you think that's the way to do this? Well, then let me ask you a question. Is that how they handled Braun Strowman when he came in? Did he lose a bunch of matches? Did he tap out a couple of times? Is that the way they handled Kevin Owens? Is that the way they handled Stone Cold Steve Austin? Is that the way they handled all of these people who became megastars? Is that the way they handled them? Did they come in and lose? But it's okay because they lost against the top guy, so he's elevated. Elevated to what? That he has to tap out to the champion because he's not in the same caliber? Are you people smoking dope? That didn't elevate Cien Almas to anything except straight back to the middle of the pack. The whole gimmick of Almas was, we want better talent. We want better talent. We're not getting our fair share here. We're being undermined. We're being told we have to fight this one and that one, and we got something to prove. And then when they have the chance to prove it, they're told to lose. And not just lose, tap out. So now I want you geniuses who are saying this is a great thing for Almas, it elevated him. I want you to ask yourself a question. Where would Braun Strowman be if he tapped out his second or third match in? Where would Kevin Owens be if he tapped out his second or third match in? Finn Balor shows up on the roster and wins the goddamn belt basically the day he does. How about if he tapped out? You have no idea what you're talking about. Doesn't elevate Almas in any way. All it did was put Almas in the ring with a guy who could work with him and show that Almas is talented. Fine. But fans knew Almas was talented. And if you didn't know Almas, if your argument is, well, not everybody knew Almas, not everybody watches NXT, okay. Well, in that case, all you saw was a guy who could beat Sin Cara but couldn't come close to beating AJ Styles. So why are you invested in this guy being a world beater at this point? It's ludicrous. This man should not have lost a match until WrestleMania. all summer. He should have been involved in progressively higher feuds, progressively getting more and more aggressive, saying, where's the top talent? They're hiding from me. Where is the champion? He's hiding from me. Everyone sees what I'm doing, but they won't step up because they don't want to be made to look bad. His manager could have said the same thing. Look, these guys are hiding from him. They're ducking him. One by one, we're picking these people off. We're moving up the ladder. And the top rung of that ladder is getting damn nervous because they know they're going to eventually have to fight him. Nope, it's let's throw him right in the ring and make him tap. And then people get on social media and blog shows and say, oh boy, wasn't that a great thing for Almas? He now is elevated to a – are you insane? Are you insane? Think about what you're saying for a minute. This same thing happened to Ty Dillinger. Remember when he fought AJ Styles and took him to the limit? Ty Dillinger's career going. Genius. It's unbelievable that people think this is the new way it should be booked. Mike, very, very disappointed in the way they handled Almas.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed, especially, I mean, look, you know, you've given a whole list of the guys that they didn't do this to, you know, and there's probably more than that. I mean, you know, you could probably add a few women that they didn't do this to either, you know, to that list. And it's sad because we know what he can do and we've seen what he can do. And basically, that match between him and Gargano was a match of the year candidate, which it
yes.
rightly should be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know why everybody thinks this is a great thing for Almas, Todd. I think it was just the opposite. I think it was a kiss of death.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. When he first came in on the main roster, I think he's going to be a great wrestler. I mean, like, climbing up to the top, like in the mid card, to get like a mid card title. But nope, they put him in the top main event and tapped out.
To be honest, he went straight from opening match to you're fighting the champion, not for the belt. So that means the WWE had no intention of saying, hey, let's push Almas to this really big showdown with AJ Styles because these guys will be able to put on a great 20-minute match. Nope, no intention of doing that. None. Zero. So again, I ask all you geniuses, is that what you did to Asuka? Is that what you did to any number of people? Did Asuka come in and tap out? Did Ronda Rousey come in and tap out? Did Kevin Owens come in when he beat John Cena on his first night and tap out? Did Braun Strowman tap out? Did Samoa Joe tap out the first time he was fought anybody good? Come on. Wake up. All this means is the WWE, yes, maybe they highlighted that Almas is a better wrestler than we've seen. But they've also highlighted he's not in AJ Styles' league. And again, I will go back to the Ty Dillinger example. They did this with Ty Dillinger. He won a couple of low-level matches, and then the minute he got in there with somebody a little bit higher up the rung, he lost. And then he lost again, and then the next thing you know, he's buried in Nowheresville. Same way with Mojo Rawley until he turned heel. This is not the way to handle this. I don't care what anybody says. Becky Lynch wins, uses the disarmer again, taps out Mandy Rose. It's very obvious that Becky Lynch, who now says, I want to be the champion, this is going to be, and we know now, is next up for Carmella. We speculated on that. There's not really much to talk about there. It's just keeping Becky Lynch strong so that she can fight Carmella, which will happen. I mean, they said, well, Carmella's got to, what was the stipulation? Carmella's got to fight her in next week, and if she wins, she gets the shot at SummerSlam. So you know that's going to happen. Samoa Joe destroys Ty Dillinger. Remember what I said about the Almas reference. Samoa Joe destroys Ty Dillinger. We get a very weird thing where Aiden English sounds very sincere when he approaches Lana and says, you know, I realize what I did was wrong. I realize I made a whole horrible mistake. I don't even deserve to be forgiven, but maybe you can put in a good word for me with Rusev. I mean, I've given my dedication to him. I really tried my best. I hope this is going to be proven to be very disingenuous and he did it on purpose, or he's being facetious, because if he gets tossed to the curb after this, Mike, it's English who's the face.
It really is. And look, another thing that came out of that is that I don't know what's up with Lana and that accent. I guess they told her not to do it, but there were times when she was talking to him when she very easily slipped back into that accent.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard for her, especially when she's talking about her own husband, to not to, you know, Rusev, you know, not to say it in that accent.
She said in an interview she's going to continue to do that, much like sometimes if you're of, you know, Latin American descent, you will put that accent on when you say, like, Ramirez or something like that. She said, I'm just going to keep right on doing that because that's the way it's pronounced. So that I forgive. But, yeah, aside from his name, there were times when she started talking in that accent, and then she was like, whoops, and went right back to it. As a matter of fact, I almost said to myself, wait, I thought she dropped the accent. So that was goofy. That was a little weird. All I know is that Aiden English sounded sincere, and I hope he isn't. Because if he isn't, and then he turns out to be the backstabber, that's great. You got a good program with Rusev. If he turns out to be the sympathetic character in this, this hurts Rusev. Eric Young versus Kofi Kingston. Well, the right person won. I mean, what are you going to do? At this point, the sanity is not over. Because guess what you did? You pulled the CN Almas, didn't you? They came in and right away they lost. Oh, were they elevated? Oh, sanity's elevated. They fought the Usos, who were tag team champions for a while. They fought the New Day, who's been longest reigning tag team champions. They're elevated. Are they? Taking him seriously, nobody cares because they've already lost a bunch of times. They don't feel special this way. So while the right person won, Todd, again, I think it's, you know, too late, a little too late.
You're absolutely right there. It's way too late. It's a little too late for sanity just to be on that winning streak. And no, like you said, when they first came on the main roster, I got that feeling they're going to go down the toilet.
It's a shame, you know, and this is why I say that these people who are talking so much about Almas being elevated by able to be, you know, tapped out by AJ Styles don't know what they're talking about. It didn't elevate sanity at all to be lost in the shuffle. And now here they are. They're getting no reaction. There's no purpose to what they do. There's no rhyme to reason. They're not given any kind of a interview time, nothing. They're not given anything. They're just... It's pathetic. And we then get to Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy. And one more time, we get the Randy Orton interference. Randy Orton, and I know this is going to be a very unpopular thing to say, but Randy Orton is becoming a Brock Lesnar light, which means that Randy shows up a lot more often than Brock Lesnar. And certainly Randy's putting his time and paid his dues and all that stuff. But Randy Orton... In a feud, it doesn't work for me, no matter what the feud is, because I'm not interested in him. I'm just not interested in him. He's one of these guys that just, he comes and goes. He's there for 6 months. He's gone for 3 months. He's in and out of things. You never really feel like Randy Orton's a part of the roster anymore. You feel like Randy Orton is a special guest star that occasionally comes in. And I think he's treading all over Nakamura's ground here, Mike, and I'd rather see just Nakamura have his time as U.S. champion be unfettered by the Randy Orton nonsense.
Yeah, I would rather see that, too. And look, the last time, the last time I'm going to speak about that, he really meant something, was the whole Bray Wyatt deal, and that was kind of a cluster, but at least he was there for it. At least it kind of went somewhere with it. Whereas, he, like you say, he's Brock Lesnar in light. He comes and goes when he wants. Yeah, he's there more often than Brock Lesnar. but and yeah, this could be, you know, he's want to be a heel. I mean, if anything good comes from this stuff, what he's doing here is that he's going to be more of a heel type, and he's going to, you know, get what he wants to get, you know. Now, how long is he gonna, you know, how long is he gonna be around for that to even for us to even start to care for him as a heel? That's up in the air.
Yeah, it's not that I don't feel that Randy Orton has deserved his spots. Absolutely has. What I do think is at this stage of his career, getting involved in a title picture, especially right after Shinsuke Nakamura, who's been, you know, kind of cycled down a bit. He didn't really do very well against AJ Styles. They kind of let AJ dominate that feud. Now he has the belt. And before we can get a really good quality AJ Styles Nakamura and Hardy feud, before we can really sink our teeth into that and say this could be good, Jeff Hardy and Nakamura are going to really go at it for this belt in a number of matches. Randy Orton gets thrown into the mix, and right away it's we're either going to get a three-way, which I don't want to see, or we're going to get Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, which I don't want to see. And Nakamura goes elsewhere with the belt and feels like he didn't really win it. It feels like he didn't really defend it against the former champion. It just all feels handed over. And I would have rather seen Nakamura have a series of matches with Jeff Hardy and prove that even though he cheated badly to win at Extreme Rules, he is qualified champion, and then move on to the next feud if that's what you want to do. Throwing Randy Orton in this is unnecessarily undermining Shinsuke Nakamura, in my opinion. So there we have basically the bare bones of SmackDown, and I'll tell you, even though this is a somewhat of a shorter show today, no problem in getting everything out in this length of time, because not much happened. Not much happened. But I do want to talk a little bit more about the Almas thing, because I know there's going to be a lot of people who disagree with me. So let me say this. If your goal, if you're sitting around saying Almas is getting no reaction when he comes out, nobody knows who he is, apparently. Nobody knows what he can do, or very few. We put him against Sin Cara. That didn't seem to help. How do we get the fans to say, whoa? Well, it's very simple. Go ahead, put him in the match with AJ Styles. But if you think that much of elevating him, how come that wasn't the feature match? AJ Styles is your champion. Whether it's a championship match or not is irrelevant. That was your opening match on Raw. Your champion in an untitled match. Why isn't your champion featured as a in the top spot? If your goal is to elevate Almas, give him the main event against your champion, but you didn't do that. So that's point number one. Point number two, it wouldn't have hurt AJ Styles to lose that match. How about if he lost? Or how about if there was no conclusion? At least that would have elevated Almas to he really is in the title picture. Yeah, I heard people say he took AJ Styles to the limit. He did? He tapped out in like 2 seconds. He didn't even try to reach the ropes. Just like put it on, tap. Didn't even try to reach the ropes. And there are people saying, well, but the psychology of the match was that AJ had worked intensively on his calf before he put that on. I don't want to hear it. Half the fans didn't see that because it was during a commercial break anyway. And the fans that did see it still say, well, he obviously wasn't tough enough to gut it out and try to get to the ropes. Everybody else does. But not Almas. So, no, it did not help Almas. And will he be in more main events? Of course. Will they try to rehab him and make him a top guy? Of course. And then when it doesn't work, they're going to say, I don't know why. Well, I do. Because you handled him incorrectly. I never would have had him anywhere near AJ Styles, but if you were going to do that, there's absolutely nothing written in rock that says AJ Styles can't have underestimated Almas and drop a match the night after he had a grueling match with Rusev. Or there's nothing saying that Aiden English doesn't try to redeem himself and come out and yell at AJ Styles or do whatever, and Styles is distracted, or something else takes place, or whoever's going to fight him at SummerSlam, Joe or whoever, comes out. There was a lot of things you could have done to give Almas the ability to say, I fought your champion and I didn't lose. And now everybody's running scared from me because now they know who I am. Now they know what I'm about. Instead, you get a guy who's, what's he going to say now? Yeah, well, I tapped out. That shit hurt. Okay, well. Again, name me the guys who went on to be highly successful directly after dropping all these kind of matches where you tap out. It wasn't even a pin. See, that's the thing. They're not even doing that to Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin doesn't tap out. Baron Corbin gets rolled up in something as 1, 2, 3, and then he looks shocked. Ah, how come I couldn't get out of it, but I'm not hurt? No, Almas is like, nope, I give up. Competition is too tough for me. When his whole entire gimmick from the moment they arrived here was, we want tougher competition because these people are not cutting it. That's the type of gimmick you stretch. You can get away with Sin Cara. You can get away with Ty Dillinger, those type of people, you know, beat them. Then when you get to the higher level, a little bit higher level, you may have to cheat to beat them. You know, oh, Almas held the tights, or Selena Vega, she cheated for him. She interfered. But then they could still be smug, you know, and say, well, we need tougher competition. When the fans then would say, tougher, you had to cheat to beat him. That's what aggravates the fans. He has no heat now. He has zero heat. Zero. If Vega had interfered and AJ refused to strike a woman, and because he hesitated for a minute and said, what do I do? Almas won. What does that hurt? How does that hurt? How does that hurt AJ? And you know what it does for Almas? It makes Almas a guy that you say, oh, they got over on the champion. This guy's going to be tough. He's not going to be a guy that's going to get pinned by, you know, Ty Dillinger. He didn't do that. So for all you people writing today saying it actually elevated Almas, no, it didn't. And if that's what the WWE thought, I'm not arguing that the WWE thinks that's what it did. You're right. The WWE does think that's what it did. What I'm telling you is it doesn't work that way. WWE's philosophy of, well, this will elevate Almas, and in the eyes of the fans, they will say, well, he didn't beat AJ, but wow, I guess this guy is going to be a tough competitor in WWE because AJ didn't exactly dust him. No. What fans are going to say is, he's no contender. Next. And then he's ignored. This is a horrible decision. A horrible, horrible, horrible decision. And it's usually reserved for people that they don't really see much of a future for. It's usually reserved for people that they say, well, we don't have much intention for the next 6 or 8 months of doing much with them other than, how did it work out for Maria Kanellis and Mike, huh? How did it work out for them when they came out like gangbusters, beat a couple people, and then they lost to the very first feud they had with anybody decent? Where are they now? So I'm sorry, you're wrong. This does not help Almas. And when you have a man who can put on what I consider still the match of the year with Johnny Gargano, you can't tell me that he can't put on an equally good match with AJ Styles. Because while I like Gargano, and I think Gargano is a brilliant wrestler, he's not AJ Styles. So if those two guys could have had a bitter feud based upon everyone's ducking me and AJ Styles saying, I'm not ducking anybody. I have to fight who the WWE tells me to fight. And there's a long line. And just because Almas thinks he deserves it doesn't mean he deserves it. Leading to that ultimate showdown. Every week, build up Almas more. You want the fans to think Almas is, a worthy contender? Then you watch him every week have a little bit longer match with a talent, a little bit longer match. Let him show what he can do. Let him keep bragging that everyone's ducking him that's any good. Let somebody step up at SummerSlam that is good. Someone we all recognize as, well, that's a person that's not going to be so easy to beat. And beat him. Then you have your, SmackDown after SummerSlam where they can literally say, everyone thought we weren't going to get by him. Where's your champion? He's ducking us. He didn't duck Shinsuke Nakamura. He didn't duck Samoa Joe. He didn't even duck Brock Lesnar. But he's ducking us. That's how you build up a character. And if you can't do that, now I know why people want to stay in NXT, Mike.
Yeah, I know that too. And look, I mean, it would have been very easy for that distraction to take place and him to, the referee's back his turn, nut shot, the guy falls down, the referee doesn't pay attention, and 1, 2, 3, he wins, That would be too complicated a writing for the WWE. That would be not lazy at all, I mean, it's easy, but it's not lazy.
Yeah, I agree. Truthfully, I just have no idea why the WWE thinks they don't need to build up characters, that they don't need to make fans wait to see a top level heel finally get beat. You could argue that you could do this with a face, although it didn't work for Ty Dillinger. But you could make an argument that you could do this for a face. A face comes in, suffers a little bit of a setback, but works his way up again and says, I didn't quit. And I'm the underdog. Every time I go out there, I'm the underdog, but I'm getting better. There's an argument to be made for that. But when a heel hits the Federation, he's supposed to be, if you have any kind of future for him, a heel is supposed to be a guy who hits the Federation and starts to really make waves. And fans, in their mind, say, I wonder what would happen if he fought so-and-so. Well, we're going to have to see how he does against this one first. Oh, he beat him. Wow. I guess they really are going to do something with this guy. I didn't think he'd get by so-and-so. Oh, now he's going to fight so-and-so. He won't get by him, though. This is probably where the push stops. Oh, no, he got by him. Wow, they're pushing him to the top, man. I don't know. You think they're going to let him beat the champ? That's what you have to do. Not, I beat Sin Cara. I tapped out to AJ Styles. So that makes you square in the middle. And it gives the fans the conclusion before the story's even told. You got to want to see a heel get beat. Nobody wanted to see Almas get beat because we don't know enough about him yet. His story wasn't even told. Have him do some horrible things. Have him get over and get some heat. Have them aggravate the fans to the point where you say, "Well, I wish somebody would beat them already. My God." Then you can do it, and you get your payoff. You get the benefit of that. AJ Styles got no benefit from beating Almas, and Almas did not get any benefit from tapping out to AJ Styles, no matter what the Brainiacs are saying today. So I don't know. We'll see where this goes. Another thing I'm starting to get aggravated with, and SmackDown does it, Raw too, but SmackDown does it more, is this idea that their champion, their women's champion, thinks she doesn't ever have to defend the belt. I don't care if you're a heel or a face. You obviously know when you become the champion, well, now I have to defend it. And if you're afraid of everyone, and you think, in other words, Carmella should be an almost every champion. I mean, you could make an argument that maybe like if James Ellsworth ever got a belt, he would try to duck defending it, knowing he would have to he would lose against anybody good. But aside from that, Carmella, who said, I've pinned Charlotte Flair twice, I've pinned Asuka, shouldn't be saying, I don't want to fight Becky Lynch. Me? Defend my belt at SummerSlam? No, wait a minute. You're the champion. You should be like, yeah, I can't wait to get to SummerSlam. It's one of the biggest shows of the year. Of course, the women's champion is going to be there. Of course, I'm going to defend the belt. And Becky Lynch, that's like giving me the night off. Not, oh, I don't want to defend my belt. Well, you don't want to go to SummerSlam? That doesn't make any sense. I don't like when they do that because it's illogical, Todd. No matter whether you're a heel or a face, of course you would want to defend your belt on the big shows.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, if you're a champion, you got to defend your belt on a pay-per-view or a TV show, but they don't do that.
I mean, they do, but they just make the if you're a heel, they make it look like you're shocked that you have to defend your belt at one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year, Mike.
You're right, and it all goes back to your book analogy. You know how these guys are writing this stuff and not doing it. And I'm gonna go a little bit of different way with this book analogy that you've used so often, and that is this: there are guys that these fiction novels that write 500-page, 1,000-page novels, but there are also guys that can do the same thing in maybe 200 pages, you know, and that's it. And it's like they're choosing to go to 200-page or less way in writing this stuff, you know, in writing. Well, how do we get Almas into a thing with AJ Styles, and they're skipping, you know, telling a story. They're skipping at least 100 pages, you know.
It's worse than that though, Mike. Because here's the deal: if you're going to write a compelling action thriller, and wrestling is technically an action thriller, and you say I'm going to introduce this cold-blooded assassin, he's a ninja. And in the opening scene, he's going to sneak in and dust 3 or 4 secret agents. And then we're going to show a secret agent, a special secret agent. And he's going to dust 6 or 7, you know, top-level guys. The feel to the fans watching the movie is these two guys are going to fight at some point. And this is going to be good. But then if the next scene, that same ninja gets his ass kicked, then we are not waiting for that ninja to meet that spy. Because we're saying, well, if he can't beat this guy, what the hell do we, you know, what the hell are we waiting for? The bad guys, the main antagonists in a story, should not suffer setback after setback after setback before they ultimately meet the main protagonist. So if the main protagonist to this story was going to be AJ Styles, which I don't know if it was going to be. But let's say it was. Let's say the plan is to work out a big program with him and AJ Styles. AJ's got to lose. And if you want Samoa Joe in between that, that's a very simple thing. AJ loses because of Vega's distraction. Vega says, we beat the champion. I want a title shot. Which would be within their rights. And Samoa Joe could say, look, I'm the next guy in line. Get in the back of the goddamn line. And in the meantime, Joe could say, hey, AJ, you couldn't beat some up-and-coming, you know, Almas. You think you're going to get through me? Then, of course, you have Vega and Almas saying, that's typical. We beat the champion, but this guy gets a title shot. You know why? Because the WWE knows what would happen if we fought AJ Styles. That's why. The WWE knows it. They don't want Almas as champion, so they are purposely trying to protect AJ Styles from Almas. There's your story, and I don't care where it goes from here. I don't care if Almas interferes in the Samoa Joe match. I don't care if Samoa Joe wins and he's the champion and then AJ cycles down to fight Almas. I don't care if AJ beats Samoa Joe and now he has to fight Almas. But either way, that's your setup. Your setup is the new heel, the new antagonist, wins. The good guy suffers a setback. And now he's staring down the barrel of Samoa Joe. Can he even get by him? And if he can, Almas is waiting again. That's the way you set up the tail, okay? Not, oh, well, Almas loses, and not just loses. Again, it wasn't like AJ Styles rolled him up in a small package, 1, 2, 3, and Almas is tearing his hair out going, what, that was only 2.5. Or Vega was saying his foot was on the ropes. Come on, his foot was on the ropes. That's different. Because then they could say, we clearly had our foot on the ropes. The referee clearly saw it and just cheated for AJ Styles because they're protecting AJ Styles. So you could still have that story without making Almas look bad. No, he taps out in the middle of the ring without even attempting to get to the ropes. Not even toughing it out and saying, I'm going to try, and then AJ pulls him back. Now I'm going to try again, AJ pulls him back. No, just, oh, I'm in it. Goodbye. I quit. And you think that makes a strong heel? Mike, that's terrible.
That's terrible. I mean, just look at how they handled the whole thing with Ellsworth, the whole Ellsworth slash Ambrose slash Styles thing when Styles was a heel. Yeah, Ellsworth won those two matches, but it was all due to Ambrose. And AJ, now they didn't complete the process. The process is, you know, Ellsworth wins those two matches, and then at some point AJ gets his revenge and beats Ellsworth and beats him, and it's a no doubter. They didn't complete that, but again, that's not the guy's fault. That's the writing's fault that they don't. They start a story and they don't complete it, you know?
Yeah, it's just not even a good story. The Almas story has now hit the bad guy failed. How many times you go to a movie and the bad guy fails in the first couple of scenes? I want you to honestly tell me. I want you people all listening to me who think I'm wrong. How many times have you watched a movie and say, oh, well, the bad guy failed. Okay, well, the movie's still got an hour to go, so maybe he'll succeed again. No, when the bad guy, ultimately, there's no more humiliating thing that can happen to a heel than they are forced to tap out. That's the ultimate loss. That is the, yes, I quit, I acknowledge you're better than me. That should never happen to a heel until that story is told. And this story wasn't told. Didn't even begin. You had a good thing going with Almas. No, he wasn't getting huge reaction because he only fought Sin Cara. Put him against some people that people care about. Let them do what they did in NXT and people will start saying, well, I'm starting to get aggravated with this guy. Let him cut some interviews where they keep saying, where is the talent here? We were told this is the big leagues. We were told this is the main roster. Where's the talent? You call this talent? That would have aggravated the fans. And if you keep calling out the champion, doesn't show, that aggravates the fans. And then if the champion says, I'd like nothing more than to go out there and punch Almas in the face because he's annoying me. But the bottom line of the situation is I'm the champion here and I fight who the WWE tells me to fight. And Almas is not there. So he's going to have to get in the back of the line. Then you have that great story to tell. Instead, it's just, I beat Sin Cara. I know I'm better than everybody else. Let me fight the champion. Oops, I guess I'm not better than him. I quit. not much of a story. And then you expect people, the next time Almas comes out, you think people are going to give him a standing ovation? Oh, you were so good against AJ. No, they're going to do that. That's an absurdity. That's absurd if you think that's what's going to happen. Now fans are going to be like, well, it's time to go for popcorn. That guy that tapped out to AJ's here, what's he going to do? And I know what the WWE will do. They'll try to rehab him. Oh, yeah, maybe we did hurt him. We'll have him beat somebody good next week. It's too late now. That's what you did with Sanity. Sanity comes in like this crazed group of, people dedicated to chaos and everything else, and they get their ass kicked. And then you say, oops, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Well, we'll let them get a win, and then they get their ass kicked again. Did you do that to the Bludgeon Brothers? When you were trying to push them to the top, did they get their ass kicked before the championship match? I don't remember that. What I remember is they tore through everybody. What I remember is Kevin Owens was tearing through everybody when he first showed up. What I remember is when Finn Balor first showed up, he became the champion. And only an injury took it away from him. What I remember is when Braun Strowman first showed up, he beat all three members of the Shield single-handedly. When the Shield showed up, they didn't tap out. When the Shield showed up, they were beating everyone. Nobody tapped out as soon as they fought somebody good. So, Mike, it's just not—it's not the correct way to do it.
Right, and it's just not the correct way to do it, and that goes back into the analogy. I give you a good example. We all enjoy watching Die Hard, but does Bruce Willis's character, does John McClane? How long does it take before John McClane affects the main bad guy? It takes a very long time. He has to first go off and kill a couple of thugs first, and then not only does he, and this is a trope, but they have to mess him up a little bit before he gets to the point where he kills the main bad guy. I mean, he has to lose his shoes, and his feet have to get all cut up, and he has to go off jump through all kinds of hoops before he. He ultimately drops the bad guy off the building, you know, and they're unwilling to put these guys' characters through the hoops that they need to put them through to get them to the point of where they're, able to go and say, it's my turn, it's my title shot, I beat this guy, you know.
So now what I say is this. Almas is now like the third villain in the plot. Almas is the henchman number three. You know, your hero has to get to the main bad guy. And he has two henchmen. And one of them's a real prick. And the other one's just an assistant to the real prick. And the assistant to the real prick always dies first. And then the real prick gets it. And then, okay, here we go. Well, Almas is the assistant to the real prick. Almas was used to set up Joe. And Joe will be used to set up I don't know who. Unless it is Joe. Unless Joe's the ultimate, end to this. But if he is, you better use him a little bit more. He's not on TV, but once every 3 weeks. So what the WWE is trying to do again is they're not trying to tell these stories anymore. They're saying, no. We don't tell these type of good versus evil stories. We don't tell these kind of action drama stories. We just tell stories about athletes. And they win and they lose, but, and they cycle up and they cycle down, but they're all about the same caliber. On any given day, anybody can kind of beat anybody. Well, you better wake up. Because why do you think everybody wants to see The Miz versus Daniel Bryan? Because they think that it's possible that, this is going to be a 5-star match or that they're cycling up and cycling down. They want to see this because of the story that was told so long ago, but they still remember. And now The Miz is bringing it all back, saying, remember when I told you that Daniel Bryan, if he ever got in the ring, it was going to be a disaster? It's been a disaster. Everything I've told you about Daniel Bryan has come true. His comeback is a bust, and now he's desperately trying to pretend it isn't, desperately trying to get back that fame he had, and he doesn't have it. And fans are saying, I can't wait to see Daniel Bryan prove The Miz wrong. That's why. It's a story. So don't tell me you're not telling them type of stories. That's exactly the type of stories you're telling. You just chose not to do it with Alma, so I don't know why you called him up. See, in my opinion, you should never, under any circumstances ever, call anyone up from NXT, anyone up from NXT, unless you have a plan for them, unless you say, this is going to be somebody we're going to run with. We're calling up Mr. X here. That's because we got a big, long program designed for Mr. X. When he gets here, we got his whole 6 months written out. And we're going to use him big, or we're going to use her big. We have a spot waiting for that person. If you're just calling him up to call him up and say, who's coming up? That guy, I don't know. Throw him against a jabron or two, and then we'll feed him to, Seth Rollins, or we'll feed him to Roman, or we'll feed him to Lashley. I don't know. Then I don't know why you called them. Leave them where they are. So for everyone today that is saying, this was no big deal with Almas, as a matter of fact, it's elevated him. I want you to replace Andretti Cien Almas' name with Tommaso Ciampa. Called Tommaso Ciampa up. And he beat Sin Cara and then tapped out to AJ Styles. How would you feel? Would you feel that they're going to use him correctly? Would you feel that he's been elevated? Or would you feel that they blew it? I know how I'd feel, that they blew it. So, Todd, for this reason alone, I could not get by that. I liked the beginning of this show with Daniel Bryan and The Miz, and that's about all I liked. Aside from that, this was a very, very, very weak show and a very detrimental one. And it really hurt to see that they had no intention of using Almas big. I'm giving the show a D. What's your thought?
I got to go with you, the same grade.
Mike, you got anything better that you could lay on us, or you agreeing?
I'm going to go a little bit worse and say it's going to be a D- for me.
Wow.
For the simple fact of, You know, the whole thing with Lana and what you, and the way he's coming off, the way English is coming off as sincere. You don't want English to come off as sincere, but D minus.
Yeah, and it's a shame. It really is. It's a shame. Once again, I just think the WWE is putting very little to no effort into their storytelling. And I just think it's unacceptable. I really do. I think it's unacceptable. You want AJ Styles against Samoa Joe? Fine, then have Samoa Joe come out and do something to cost AJ Styles his match against Almas. The undesired effect is that Almas is now saying, I deserve the shot above Samoa Joe. But that's okay. Because you could just say, well, no, Joe's got the shot. That's the way it goes. And Almas, yes, in the future you'll get an opportunity, which will piss them off. As far as Eric Young is pretty good on the mic, and you don't never give him the mic. So Eric Young right now just looks like a guy who bugs his eyes out of his head, who's halfway decent, but really didn't, you know, just struggled hard to get by Kofi Kingston, who's not a solo wrestler. So I don't see how this makes Sanity. You know, Sanity should have been this group that came in and dominated for a while, like The Shield, where you say, oh, my God, when are they going to show up? What are they going to do? There's no rhyme nor reason. They attack both the good guys and the bad guys. They really are here to just cause chaos. They're mentally unstable, all three of them. Instead, they just look like three guys who dress funny and get beat quite a bit. What a waste. The Becky Lynch push. I love Becky Lynch, but my God, could she have been worse on the mic? Sad. And also, I just don't know what, I don't understand how you're pushing Carmella. First she says, ooh, I wouldn't have James Ellsworth as my boyfriend. Okay, well, then, you know, I don't know then. I don't know why James Ellsworth goes out of his way for her. He apparently thinks he can get anybody she wants. So you've ruined that dynamic. And on top of that, you've made her a champion who says, I have to defend my belt at a major pay-per-view. There's no logic to that. And once again, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt on the Rusev thing. If Aiden English turns out to be talking from both sides of his mouth, then I'm okay with it. But if you, for any reason at all, are going to try to pull off that Aiden English is sincere, but when Rusev dismisses him and says, I don't need you anymore, he becomes a heel and says, well, if Rusev doesn't need me anymore, I'll destroy Rusev Day. I created it. I'll destroy it. That's not good. And here's why it's not good, because he has some justification. Because there are going to be some people who say, yeah, you know what, he was trying to help Rusev, and Rusev was just being mean to him. And him and Lana, you know, what they wanted to do, make him crawl like a dog. He was kissing their ass, and that's not good enough. Okay, he made a mistake, big deal. You don't want that. You do not want that. So if that's the way they're going with this, Mike, that is a very, very bad direction for this feud.
That is a bad direction for this feud, and it doesn't. I mean, even if he is talking out of both sides of his mouth, that would kind of be a bad direction, because that is not what the fans want right now. Right now, the fans want those three people together in one group. That's what they want. That's what the fans want. And if they're doing this right now, it's too fast. Again, it goes back to my analogy. They're trying to write a 500-page novel in 200 pages, and it's not working.
Yeah, and again, and they're not making the antagonist the main issue. So let me explain this quickly. If you are my partner, and I accept your help time and time and time again, and time again, you help me win by cheating. And one time, it backfires and I lose. And you come to me and say, I'm so sorry. I know I don't deserve forgiveness, but trying to help, just like I always did. And this time it didn't work, and I'm taking full responsibility. It's my fault 100%. Please forgive me. I don't even deserve your forgiveness, but please, 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 please forgive me. And I say, no, F you. You screwed up my title shot now. Get out. I'm not your friend anymore. Who's the bad guy, Mike? I would argue it would be me.
Yeah, I would argue it'd be you as well. And that's, I mean, I don't, right now, I don't want Rusev as the bad guy. You know, I would assume that most fans don't want Rusev as the bad guy. You know,
I would assume that
most fans don't want any of the three as the bad guy. I mean, when this first started, we saw Lana come in and they were playing Lana as the bitch. You know.
Now, I'm going to give them some benefit of the doubt. If this is going to be a long story by which Aiden English is going to be forgiven, grew up again, be forgiven, and kind of led the fans to believe he's doing this on purpose because he's jealous. He's jealous of Rusev. And he doesn't want Rusev to succeed. He really doesn't. And then he openly admits it and says, this whole Rusev thing would have been nothing without me. If I didn't come up with a song, if I didn't come out here and sing you to the ring, these fans wouldn't give a damn about you. And it was always you, you, you. You never asked, do I want a shot? You never, you know, came out to ringside and helped me. Screw you, Rusev, and screw you, Lana. Then he's the bad guy. And I'm okay with it. But I'm not okay with it if they're going to say, no, Rusev kicked him to the curb, he deserved to be kicked to the curb, you should be booing Aiden English and cheering Rusev, because that's not logical. Logic is going to say that the majority of the fans are going to say, I feel sorry for Aiden English. He tried to help his friend, and because it backfired, he's no longer friends. So in other words, if I try to help my friend and it doesn't work out, my friend is justified in telling me I don't want to be friends with you anymore. So I hope that's not where it's going. And for all the people who are just, you know, chomping at the bit to see Becky Lynch be the champion, I got some hard news for you. There is no way Carmella's losing that belt until Charlotte gets back. They're not making Becky Lynch the champion. Becky Lynch is a side road to somebody else. And I imagine that somebody else is Charlotte. If they make Becky Lynch the champ, I will be shocked, because then I'd have no idea why you'd let her get by Asuka. Should have just went for Becky Lynch first. Because she can beat Asuka even with the distractions and even with a bunch of help. You should be able to get by Becky Lynch. Anyway, that's our show for today. We will be here on Sunday, and thanks for joining us. We'll see you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.